हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। सीइंग दिस Bhashyam, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, where specifically he refutes this idea of combining the knowledge with karma, performance of rituals or actions, as a means of attainment of moksha. We do understand moksha means freedom, derived from the root much. That is why muktihi, a feminine word, masculine gender word moksha mean the same. And the neuter word, neuter noun vimochanam. All these words derived from the root much, which means to be free. So freedom. But actually, what is implied by the word freedom is limitlessness. Being free from miseries means being free from unhappiness, sorrow means being free from all limitations. So being free means being free from limitations. Therefore, freedom implies limitlessness. Therefore, being limitless is being happy. Therefore, limitlessness implies happiness. So, being limitless implies being full. Being full implies being free from inadequacy, which is being free, being happy. Therefore, actually, what is implied by the term freedom is happiness, limitlessness, fullness. Anandaha, anantam. And this is the very swarupam of the only absolute reality. Being full, being limitless is the very nature of the reality. Why the reality is limitless? How, why it is time-wise limitless, spatial limitless, object-wise limitless, why it is limitless? Being limitless is the very nature. We have to understand, we are going to see that in the second chapter. Limitlessness being the nature of reality, fullness being the nature of reality, happiness is the very nature of the reality. That is why happiness is not something to be attained, something to be discovered as one's own essential nature. It is not even a state of mind which comes and goes. A state of mind is subject to change. But what is changeless is happiness. Fullness, limitlessness, which is the very nature of the changeless reality. That is why discovering the reality itself is discovering freedom, discovering fullness, discovering happiness. And discovering happiness itself is what? Discovering attainment, attaining happiness, attaining freedom. So attainment of freedom is a thing but discovering freedom. Discovering freedom is a thing but discovering very reality. therefore atmajnanam or brahma jnanam itself is mokshaha. Jnanat eva kaivalyam. Jnanam itself is enough for the attainment of moksha. Jnanam itself is moksha. This is a fact which has been really repeatedly said in all the teachings. But for this jnanam, one has to use the shastram as the pramanam and a certain way how the shastram has to be taught, how the words have to be handled, unfolded, etc. So when a person is given to this discipline of Shravanam and his Dhyasanam in due course of time, of course, there is no way he can miss the vision. One will definitely have a vision of this truth, in the wake of which one will simultaneously discover the freedom which is attainment of Mokshaha, which is Jivan Muktihi. But for understanding the teaching, resolving the doubts in the teaching, to assimilate the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, one should also take care of one's mind simultaneously. It is the mind where knowledge has to rise. The knowledge of anything has to rise in the mind of a thought, and here the knowledge of the absolute reality, the very sroop of the thought also has to, knowledge of the truth also has to rise in the of a thought, and which involves certain focus, sharpness and stability of the part of the mind, for which of course Shastram prescribes karma in the Karma Upasana Khandas. The Karma Upasana Khandas prescribe karma only to prepare, help the individual, the spiritual aspirant, to live his life properly, gradually to prepare his mind. Emotional maturity becomes absolute maturity is possible only in the wake of jnanam. Until that jnanam, to attain that jnanam, one has to be relatively mature, for which one has to live the way of life enjoined, follow this way of life enjoined by the Shastram, where dharma is, where dharma becomes very important, the values become important, disciplines become important. So the Karma Upasana Khandas prescribe karma not for the attainment of moksha, only to enable a person become qualified, eligible for the attainment of this absolute wisdom, which itself is moksha. So combining moksha, jnanam with the karma is not at all the aim of the Shastram, not at all recommended by the Shastram. Even the karma is given importance only as a preparatory discipline. But here Purapakshi is so keen that he wants to combine. Even nowadays you can see that there are so many religious heads. All of them are Mahatmas, great people, meaning well, they interest in the welfare of the society. So good people, pious people, but without the Shastra background, without being exposed to the tradition, because Janmanta Samskaras, they become big, they're able to attract huge millions of people also. They do teach good things, they do mean well, but still, they're more attractive because they recommend doing something. Do this, do this, do this. Where something to do is taught, wherever people teach something to do, then that place attracts more of people than where the Shastram is taught. I mean, where jnanam is only in just being yourself. Moksha is there only in just being yourself. So being yourself means discovering yourself being absolutely free from actions. It's much subtler. subtlest fact this is. And this discovery really is dependent on much subtler mind also. Therefore, it is not easy for people to accept that jnanam alone will give moksha. We're naturally, because of ignorance, because of wrong identity, because of wrong notions, naturally all of us, the entire humanity is very much inclined to do something always. Again, once people start doing, even performing rituals, pujas, etc., it is not that easy to, you know, give up things overnight. Slowly they have to withdraw. One has to involve oneself very much in all the karmas initially, and gradually one has to withdraw oneself from doing things. Overnight, nothing can be given up. Let Shastram teach. This way Shastram prescribes the stages and teaches how we have to involve totally, how we must be contributive, and how we must gradually reduce and withdraw slowly from the activities and diverting attention more in understanding, more in dwelling upon the teaching, etc. So it's not easy. That is why the karma kandis are very strong, of a strong view. They somehow want to say, karma is enough for moksha, they have to say. And when the fallacies are pointed out, the logical loopholes are shown, and they have to say what? No. Okay, karma still, karma is needed. Karma supporting jnanam will be a means of the attainment of moksha. So Shankara Bhagavatpada has to explain, and we saw how karma can produce four types of results. Utpattihi, samskritihi, vikritihi, and aptihi. But moksha is not any one of these results. Moksha is not something to be produced. It's already there as one's own surupam. If it has a beginning, it will come to an end. Hacha moksha is not acceptable, not desirable. And moksha is not the result of karma in the form of refinement. No. Mind can be refined. Mental refinement is important for having such a vision. For mental refinement, we have samskaras. Mental purification, we have 41 samskaras. And we are taught the way of life called karma yoga. It's all for mental refinement. We are recommended to perform rituals, pujas, worship, prayers, even meditations, our own duties, our varna dharmas, duties pertaining to varna, duties pertaining to the ashrama, duties pertaining to an individual, duties pertaining to the roles one has to play. All these are emphasized by the Shastram. It's all for mental refinement. Mental refinement is required for discovering the absolutely pure Atma. Atma is ever the nature of absolute purity. For moksha, being the nature of the Atma, is not something attainable as a result of action in the form of refinement. No. Moksha is not even a modification, not a vikriti. Actions can cause modifications, bring out changes on the part of things. Anything material, it cannot bring out a change in the ever reality, which is ever of the nature of changelessness. And moksha being the very nature of the reality, reality being one's own essential, one's own self, reality being the very self of every being, moksha is one's own nature. Moksha is not something away from oneself, other than oneself. Therefore, attainment of moksha also is not possible. Moksha is not apyaha. Already there as one's own self, one's own essential nature, one's own surupo, which is not away from oneself, which is not other than oneself. There is no distance between moksha and the self. The aham pratyaya vishayaha, the content of the very I, happens to be abstract formless reality, which is ever of the nature of pure knowledge, pure awareness. And this reality is ever of the nature of pure awareness, is ever of the nature of freedom, ever of the nature of limitlessness. So, limitlessness, fullness, happiness is the very surupam of I, very content of I. Therefore, it is not moksha, the freedom is not something to be attained just away from oneself, not other than oneself. Therefore, jnanam is only means of attainment of moksha. Knowing is attaining, not apyaha. Therefore, these four types of results being results of karma, moksha does not come under the category of any of these four. Therefore, moksha is not a product of karma. We saw that Shankarabhutra established yesterday, and the Purupakshi are talking about the Gatishrutis. Gatishrutihi, Aishwarya Shrutihi. Even the Vedic statements which discuss the topic of journey of the Jiva after the death are said to be Gatishrutayaha. They talk about the attainment of other higher lokas. They talk about the attainment of even the Brahma loka, the highest of the 14 lokas, beyond which no other loka. And all these 14 lokas, including the highest of the 14 lokas, Brahma loka, they're all within the realm of material, objective, time-bound universe only. And there is there's a possibility of enjoying varieties of pleasures which are not at all enjoyable in any other loka. Even then, they are unique celestial pleasures, non-verifiable matter for belief for us. Still, Shastram talks about it. Very nice when really we do not really study the Karmakanda. There are portions which describe the pleasures enjoyable in heaven. But if you listen to the unfoldment of those mantras, even we may have developed interest in, we all may have craving to visit Brahmaloka, higher lokas, Swargadi lokas. Ajay Puja Swami used to say, Veda teaches tourism promotion. How to promote tourism? Where it describes what all the description, the beautiful pictures, ads we receive from these so-called travel agents and the airways companies to promote the tourism, to get good sales, to sell their tickets. They promote the other places. So Veda promotes the way. So it's very interesting. So people may be interested in going to other lokas, enjoying pleasures. Still, there's no moksha. They're all karma phalam. Only the more punyam a person earns appropriately by real hard work of performing rituals and practicing meditation, But that punyam, one can travel and enjoy such pleasures. Still, they're all time-bound in nature. Going to heaven or going to Brahmaloka, enjoying any unique pleasures is not the attainment of moksha. Anyway, so here, we're going to see now. The Purupakshi's objection. Let us read that now. So Bhagavan, the Shankara Bhagavatpada has already clarified mokshaha is not apyaha. Mokshaha is not something attainable. We saw the reason. Gantuhu anyatu desham prati gantavyam bhavati. Gantuhu vibhinnam desham prati gantavyam bhavati. Travel is required. Reaching is possible, is required. Only if what is to be attained, reached, is something other than the traveler, away from the traveler. Whereas, that from which, that which is non-separate from oneself, is never reached, attained. We saw that. And in support of this clear teaching, he also quoted from Taittiriya Upanishad. The Bhagavan created, Bhagavan means who? Bhagavan is nothing but a qualification, title attributed to the absolute reality. As the one being endowed with the inexplicable power of manifesting. The reality being endowed with the power of manifesting is looked upon as Ishvara Bhagavan. And the Ishvara, having created this universe, entered into this universe, means what? This reality, having the Ishvara status, is there in every mind, in every one of us, in everything in this universe, as very truth of everything. So, kshetrajyam chakmam vidhi itteva mati shuti spruti shatebhyaha. May you understand me to be the knower of the kshetram, obtaining in every kshetram the body, mind, sense complex. Bhagavan said this, which means the very reality is of the nature of freedom. It is not to be attained, it is something to be discovered. Okay. From hundreds of Shruti Smriti statements, this fact is understood. Okay, we'll go to today's class. Na Purupakshi, the person, the Karmakandi, again, presents his view. He wants somehow. It is not easy for one to accept the failure. He tries. Gatyaishwariyadi shuti virodha iti chet. See, any teaching should not contradict the Vedic statements. Okay? If anything, any statement present as a teaching, if it contradicts the Vedic teaching, if it is an antagonism, if it is discrepancy of the Vedic statement, then definitely it is not accepted. So he presents his own statements, which means there is some misunderstanding on the part of the Karmakandi. So what he says, Gati Aishwariyadi, Gatya Aishwariyadi, Shruti Virodha. What he says, if moksha is not understood as something to be attained. Moksha is not apyaha. If it is said moksha is not apyaha, then there is contradiction. There is contradiction with what Vedic statements which discuss the subject matter of travel, attainment of heaven, Brahmaloka, and attainment of some unique, extraordinary powers. There are Vedic statements which discuss the journey of the jivas after the death as a result of having accumulated punyam from one's own performance of rituals and practice of meditation. And if the person can travel and reach higher lokas, and having reached the higher lokas, the person becomes endowed with extraordinary powers. He has certain lordship. The person can have lordship. The person enjoy the best of pleasures. There are such Vedic statements. They are known as Gati Aishwarya Shrutayaha. Gati Aishwarya Shrutayaha. And if we say moksha is not attainable, then that becomes, you know, that becomes, that opposed to the Vedic statements, especially Gati Aishwarya Shrutayaha. So he says, if it is said that they contradict the Vedic statements discussing the travel, accomplishment of powers, etc., then athapi syat yadi aprapyaha mokshaha. Yadi mokshaha aprapyaha, athapi syat yadi aprapyaha mokshaha. He says, if moksha is not attainable, tada, then gatishruti nam kopaha syat. Gatishruti nam kopaha syat means what? Kopaha means there will be anger of the Vedic statements. Anger of the Vedic, do Vedic statements get angry? No. We provoke the anger of the Vedic statement means, Veda Mata means, provoking the anger of Veda Mata means what? Being contradictory. If our understanding contradicts the Vedic statements, the Vedic teaching, then that is, we earn the Veda Mata's anger. It means there is opposition. There is contradiction. There will be enmity. There will be virodha. Therefore, there will be antagonism. Therefore, it is said, Gatishruti nam kopaha syat. Who says? Puru Pakshi says, you will really earn the anger of Shruti Mata. One will earn the anger of Shruti Mata if we contradict with the facts revealed by Vedic statements. And he quotes some Shrutis. Saha Yekada. This just is not a complete mantra. It's one is Saha Yekada means what? This is a mantra. The second mantra of the 26th section of the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. In this mantra it is said, the person who reaches Brahmaloka and who is interested only enjoying the unique pleasures of Brahmaloka, and he is blessed with some tremendous powers that he can multiply himself into many. He can become, you know, Ekada Bhavati, Dvidha Bhavati, Tridha Bhavati, like that. We had the mantra states, when the person multiplies, is capable of multiplying himself into many. In fact, don't ask me whether it is true or not. It's only a matter for the non-verifiable matter for belief. We accept it with Shraddha because our Veda Shastram says. We cannot disprove it is not there. But nor can we prove. What are we? Shastram talks about it. Veda Shastram does say, yes, if a person really lives a strict life of performance of rituals and practice of meditation, tremendous tapasvi, must have earned abundance of punyam, could not have done any wrong, any harm to any being in the world. So, having earned abundance of grace, he must have earned punyam, he must have been traveled, he must have gone to Brahmaloka. Yes, then that is possible. He will be blessed with some unique powers, how to multiply oneself into. And it is number is said also. He can multiply himself to the extent of even having 1020 forms. 1020 forms. And up to that number he can have. We can't even imagine what would it be. So multiplying himself, the same person can enjoy simultaneously varieties of pleasures. And then, at least in this loka, in this, when Bhuloka, when you have a desire, you have to plan and you have to work, earn, then you have to fulfill your desire means, fulfilling the desire in this world means really struggling strength, really, you know, having strenuous effort. You have to do things. So karma is important to fulfill your desires. In Brahmaloka, higher lokas, if you wish immediately whatever you desire, your desire will become fulfilled immediately. That's why we hear about having wish fulfilling trees, tree, kalpaka vriksha, wish fulfilling cow, the kamadhenu, etc. are said to be celestial cow, celestial tree, etc. We heard about it. So, it is possible for one to fulfill all one's wishes just by thinking. So, he can enjoy anything, any desire he can get, any desire fulfilled. So, it is said, Saha yadi pitruloka kamaha bhavati. This person, not only is capable of becoming many, assuming various forms. In the Brahmaloka, higher lokas, even if after going there, if he has the desire to visit, desire to meet his ancestors, I want to see my ancestors. Pitruloka kamaha. Pitruloka means, again, not that he is desirous of going to Pitruloka. Pitruloka means the world of forefathers. Means all forefathers. If he is desirous of seeing, meeting with the forefathers, then immediately the Pitrus will appear for him. Yadi saha pitruloka kamaha bhavati, tasya pitrunam darshanam siddhyati. It is possible for him to do, to have the meeting with ancestors, forefathers, in must be in some other form. That's why completely it is, we cannot disprove nor can we prove. Stri bihiva yanaihiva. Again, this small portion of the mantra. Stri bihiva yanaihiva. Even if he has some unfulfilled wish of traveling by some vehicles, that wish also will be fulfilled. If the person has that wish of, you know, the company of many women, it is possible for him to have that. So it is not that that is the very aim of the Upanishads. What it says is, all these what is impossible for a person to enjoy in this world becomes possible in higher worlds without any effort. Effortlessly, without any strain, he can enjoy, he can get all his wishes fulfilled in higher loka. Okay, this is what the Shruti says. This is what is said by Shruti Aishwarya, Gati Aishwarya Shrutayaha, Gati Aishwarya Shrutayaha discuss all possible enjoyment of varieties of pleasures in Brahmaloka in this manner. Okay. So he says, Saha yekada, saha yadi pitruloka kamaha bhavati, stribihiva, yanehiva, ityadi shruti namcha, kopahasyat. Iti chet. If this Purapakshi would say, there may be the provocation of the anger of Shruti mother, because of the contradiction in our understanding that moksha is not attainable. If we say moksha is not attainable, then we are our understanding contradicts the Shruti, especially Gati Aishwarya Shrutis. Vedic statements which discuss the travel, accomplishment of powers in higher lokas, etc. Why does he say this? According to Purapakshi, moksha is still not very clear for him. Being free from suffering, being free from unhappiness means being capable of enjoying only pleasures, 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 pleasures. There's no pain. Not having to go through the experience of pain and being able to experience only pleasures is attainment of moksha for him. That is why he says, what else is moksha then? Going to Brahmaloka, staying there, enjoying all these varieties of pleasures, amazing pleasures, is attainment of moksha. That is why he says, moksha anapyaha. Moksha is not attainable means, he says, it will contradict Shruti's Gati Aishwarya Shruti. Okay. So Shankara Gurupada now has to answer. His answer comes. He gave few quotations. Purapakshi gave few quotations from Veda, especially Gatyaishwarya Shrutis. For him, moksha is attainable, reachable. One has to travel, go to another Brahma, not in this loka, Bhuloka. Go to Brahmaloka. There moksha is for him. Go to Brahmaloka and enjoy all these pleasures effortlessly. That is attainment of moksha. Therefore, for him, moksha is apyaha. Whereas, for Shankara Bhagavatpada, the vision of the Shastram is such that moksha is fullness, limitlessness, happiness, which is the swarupma of every one of us, every individual. Therefore, it's something to be discovered, not to be attained. Shankar Bhagavatpada gives his answer. First he says what? Na. Na means what? No, there is no Gatyeshwarya Shruti Nam Kopaha. Definitely there is no antagonism at all. We do not provoke Shruti Mata's anger. There is no contradiction at all. By saying moksha is not attainable, there is no contradiction with the Gati Aishwarya Shrutis. Gati Aishwarya Shrutis, what they say is a fact. If a person has earned punyam by his practice of meditation and karma, definitely after when his parvada gets exhausted, he will go to heaven. He will enjoy heavenly pleasures. No doubt. We do not disagree with the Vedic statement. There's no contradiction. But moksha is not attainable is a fact as well. He explains why there is no contradiction with Gatyeshwarya Shruti. Gatyeshwarya Shruti discusses only the topic of Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma means what? Anything and everything which comes within the realm of material objective universe. Even Brahma Loka, inexplicable also, non-verifiable also. Shastram says it's only within the realm of Prapancha, objective universe only. The realm of material worlds only. The material world is what? Karyam Brahma. He says, Karya Brahma Vishayatvat Tasam. There is no contradiction in saying moksha is not attainable because Karyam Brahma, the objective material universe, inclusive of Brahma Loka, forms the subject matter of or something associated with those Shrutis. Those Gati Aishwarya Shrutis. Gati Aishwarya Shrutis only talk about the Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma within the realm of the objective material universe. Only within the realm of the material objective universe, inclusive of Brahma Loka, there, Karyehi Brahmani, Striyadayaha Syuhu, all these objects of enjoyment, Bhoga Vishayaha, all these objects of enjoyment, objects of pleasures, such as the company of women, etc., they all can be only within the realm of Karyam Brahma, within the realm of the objective material universe. Even if it is a Brahma Loka. Na karane, this enjoyment of pleasures, etc., does not fall within the realm of Karanam Brahma. What does it mean? Karanam Brahma means Ishvara. Ishvara means the absolute reality with its inseparable unique power of manifest, unique manifesting power or knowing power. Absolute reality. The absolute reality endowed with this unique power of manifesting and becoming unmanifest. That reality is free from all these distinct from this Karyam Brahma, not distant, distinct from Karyam Brahma. Which is moksha itself. So moksha, when you say karane na means, karanam brahma is distinct from karyam brahma. These enjoyment of pleasures, enjoyment of objects of enjoyment such as women etc. are only within the realm of the karyam brahma, the material world. There is a possibility of enjoying these objects, enjoyment of pleasures, but they are time bound. That's not moksha. Moksha is Brahma. Karanam Brahma. The absolute reality, ultimate truth, the pure consciousness existence implied by the term Brahman alone is looked upon as Ishvara, Karanam Brahma, being endowed with this inexplicable power of Maya. That Brahma is ever of the nature of freedom, which is distinct from Karyam Brahma. Second thing. So Karane, such in that absolute reality Brahma, there is no such enjoyment. Which means what? What does it mean? Karane na means this pure consciousness existence, pure awareness existence does not enjoy pleasures, does not enjoy objects. The enjoyment is possible because of Brahma. The enjoyer, enjoyment, enjoyed objects, everything is Brahma, Karanam Brahma. But Karanam Brahma is not absolutely free from this, even this enjoyer, enjoyment, enjoyed objects difference. And the Karanam Brahma itself is moksha, that which has to be discovered, not to be attained. Time-bound pleasures, enjoyment of time-bound objects, time-bound pleasures, within the realm of the Karyam Brahma material world, can be attained. But not moksha, which is Karanam Brahman itself. Okay. Then he says, what is that absolute reality? Yekamevadvitiyam. From the standpoint of that absolute reality, which has the status of being the Karanam Brahma Ishvara, is in fact one secondless reality, only secondless reality. The standpoint of which there's nothing else is, that Brahman is Mokshaha, the only absolute reality, the secondless reality, is Karanam Brahma, which is distinct from this Karyam Brahma, which itself is Moksha. Yatra nanyat pashyati. Having discovered that absolute reality being on Son Swarupa, from the standpoint of absolute reality, if a person sees Aham Brahma Asmi, the vision if a person has, from the standpoint of Brahma, if he sees, then he cannot see a second thing other than Brahma. There is no experiencer other than Brahma. There is no experience other than Brahma. There is no experienced world of objects other than Brahma. He sees everything being Brahma. So anyatana pashyati, that Brahman has to be discovered in order to discover moksha. Discovery of that Brahman is discovery of moksha. Then tat kena kim pashyet. Again, all these very beautiful mantras. Now you can make out. These are the mantras which will be repeated again and again. These are the mantras taken for analysis in Brahma Sutras also. So, Chandogya mantras. Now, tat kena kim pashyet. This is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Again, this person, a jnani who has discovered the absolute reality, Brahma, obtaining as one's own Swarupam, there will be one who has the clear vision of the self being Brahma, with the vision of Aham Brahma Asmi, that person, when he, from the standpoint of reality again, what can he see? Kam Pashyet, what can he see? What does he see? By what does he see? For him, the instruments of knowledge are Brahma. The object of knowledge is Brahma. Object of knowledge is Brahma. Therefore, Brahma means one's own self. The seer is I. The seen is I. Seeing is I. I mean, I aham Brahma. I did. Truth am. The seer, seen, see. Everything. Such a person, the second thing is not there for him. Therefore, what can he see? By which can he see? Very profound statements. In fact, when we do those Upanishads, when we these mantras had been unfolded, we'll see them again in Brahmanandavalli. When we do, you will really understand the meaning of all these mantras. For one to see another thing, there must be another thing other than oneself. A second thing must be there. And to see something other than oneself, there must be another instrument of knowledge other than oneself. There must be the one who operates the instrument of knowledge. Once all these divisions and differences are possible only as long as a person remains ignorant. When a person really stumbles upon, arrives at the truth and repeatedly dwells upon the truth, even he assimilates the truth, what is real? What is reality? What is Atma Brahma when he arrives at? From the standpoint of that reality, he will see there is no word, there is no knowledge, there is no instrument of knowledge, there is no object of knowledge, everything is Brahma. That Brahman, discovery of that Brahman is discovery of moksha. Because Brahman, reality and moksha are identical, which is distinct from Karyam Brahma. Whereas Gati, Aishwarya, Shruti is talk about the objects of enjoyment, pleasures, etc., which are only within the realm of the objective material universe, which is not Karanam Brahma. So from all these Shrutis also we understand Karanam Brahma, the absolute reality being distinct from the Karyam Brahma. Karanam Brahma is Shuddham Chaitanyam, which is inseparable power. Whereas Karyam Brahma is the material, objective material universe. Gati, Shruti, Gati, Aishwarya Shrutis only deal with what? Karyam Brahma, not Karanam Brahma. Therefore what? Karyam Brahma, the pleasures, enjoyment which can be attained as a result of act karma is only Karyam Brahma, not Karanam Brahma. Okay, next, continue. Shankara Bhagavatpada continues his explanation. This is a very important is this. He is going to establish now how and why knowledge and karma can never be combined. Virodhacha vidya karmanoho samuchayanupapattihi. You can put beautifully. Vidya karmanoho samuchayasya anupapattihi. வித்யா கர்மனோகோ சமுச்சயஹ மீன்ஸ் வாட்? காம்பினேஷன் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ் அண்ட் கர்ம, வித்யா அண்ட் கர்ம, கம்பைனிங் knowledge and action, combining vidya and karma is not possible at all. Vidya karmanoho samuchaya anupapattihi. Upapattihi means possibility, anupapattihi means impossibility, untenability. There is impossibility of combination of knowledge and karma. So this is his first sentence. Impossible to combine knowledge and karma. Why? Virodhat. Because knowledge and karma are opposed to each other. Virodhat. Due to the opposition, because knowledge and karma are opposed to each other, means where there is jnanam, there cannot be karma. Where there is karma, there definitely there is ajnanam. Therefore, it's impossible to combine. Let us see how it is. Pravilina kartradi karaka visesha tattva visayahi vidya. So beautiful definition of vidya. What is vidya? What is Brahma vidya? Here vidya means knowledge. Please make a note. The word vidya and jnanam, both these words mean knowledge. Both these words mean also meditation, upasanam. Jnanam and upasanam. Both are meanings of the word jnanam, this vidya and jnanam. If we take the meaning of the word vidya as upasanam, it is possible for upasanam to be combined with karma. Because upasanam is purely a mental activity. Mental activity can be combined with other activities involving body and speech. Kayikam, vachikam, karma can be combined with manasam, karma. They're all activities. But here the word vidya does not mean meditation. Vidya means knowledge. Especially knowledge of the absolute reality. And as vidya, the knowledge here is of tattva vishaya vidya. Tattva vishaya vidya means what? The knowledge is of the absolute reality, ultimate truth. Tattva vishaya vidya. Tattvam vishayaha yasyaha vidyayaha. Sa tattva vishaya vidya, tattvam vishaya. The knowledge is of the absolute reality. Absolute reality, ultimate truth is the subject matter of this knowledge. Therefore, tattva vishaya vidya is what now? Pravilina kartradi karaka visesha tattva vidya vishaya. This knowledge is of the absolute reality in which kartradi karaka viseshas, all the divisions, differences, attributes, even the accessories required for performing ritual, all of them become resolved, negate as mithya. Absolute reality is free from all accessories. Reality is not karta, karma, karanam, sampradanam, apadanam, adhikaranam. Not any of the accessories. Therefore, absolute reality being one all-pervasive reality, it is indivisible, undivided, partless, whole. So what? It is free from differences, divisions. It is free from all karakas. Therefore, knowledge is of such reality. Knowledge is of the ultimate truth, which is free from the divisions, differences, karakas. All difference mean what? Kartru, kartru, karana, karma, bedaha. Jnatru, jnana, jneya, bedaha. Sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, bedaha. Okay? It is free from all forms of differences. Vijatiya, bheda, sajatiya, bheda. Vijatiya, bheda means what? The difference between species of two groups. Two jatis, completely different species. And difference within one species itself, swagata bheda, sajatiya bheda, within one jati there is difference. I don't want to elaborate on these things. And so we're going to see all this later in the next chapter. Swagata bheda, the difference within oneself. If you take the whole physical body, there's swagata bheda. Legs are different from hands. Hands are different from legs, etc. Swagata bheda. All these differences are not there on the part of the abstract, formless reality consciousness. Being one indivisible, undivided, partless whole, it is free from differences, free from attributes, free from the karakas. And the knowledge is of that absolute reality, ultimate truth. Pravilina means where everything becomes resolved. Pravilina kartradi karaka visesha tattva vidya, tattva visayahi vidya. Tat viparita karaka sadhyena karmana viruddhyate. Whereas that such knowledge is opposed to karma, which is involved, which is different. Viparita karaka sadhyena karmana. Whereas such reality is opposed to karma, which is possible only with the help of the various accessories such as karta, karma, karanam, etc. How can there be karma without the accessories? Without the karta doer, action is not possible. Without the object of action, action is not possible. Sometimes without instrument of action, action is not possible. The purpose of the action, beneficial of the action, there must be locus where the action should happen. Therefore, a performance of action is dependent on all these accessories. Therefore, karma is sadhyam, possible only with all these karakas. So, tad viparita karaka sadhyena karmana viruddhyate. Karma which is dependent on karakas, karma which is possible only with the help of the karakas, is opposed to what? Jnanam. Jnanam is opposed to karma. Jnanam, because knowledge is of the reality which is free from all these karakas. Therefore, it is not possible to combine. Which means, reality is free from even the doership, enjoyership. The person whose identity is reality is also free, is free from doership and enjoyership. And performance of action is possible only if there is a doership and enjoyership. Therefore, karma which is possible, which is dependent on the karakas, opposed to the knowledge or the absolute reality which is free from all these karakas. We'll go to next sentence. Nahi ekam vastu paramarthataha kartradi viseshavat tachunyam cha iti ubhayata drashtum shakyate. Again he says, ubhayata drashtum na shakyate. Ekam vastu ubhayata drashtum na shakyate. It is not possible for one thing to be simultaneously both. Both means what? Paramarthataha kartradi viseshavat. It is not possible to see the one vastu as karyam brahma. To be endowed with all these it is not possible to see one absolute reality to be endowed with all these karakas, such as karakas accessories, and also as the one who is free from the chunyam, as the one which is free from the karakas also. Simultaneously, it is not possible. You can't say one person is tall as well as he is short also. Either one must be short or must be tall. He is short and tall. Viruddha dharmas. Cannot be found in the same locus. In the same way here. Paramarthataha means what? In reality, ekam vastu kartradi viseshavat tat shunyam cha iti ubhayata drashtum na shakyate. What does he say here? It is not possible at all to see one and the only absolute reality to be sagunam brahma having all these karakas. And also the Nirgunam Brahma, which is free from these karakas. Therefore he says, there must be, between these two, avashyam hi anyatarat mityasyat. Between this, anyatarat, One of these two must be what? Definitely mithyasyat. Must be mithya. One of these two must be mithya. Avashyam. Anyatarat mithyasyat. You can't have karanam brahma and karyam brahma, both are satyam. No. Both cannot be satya. One absolute reality, ultimate reality, cannot be both karyam brahma having the differences, having the these accessories, as the one which is free from accessories. It is not possible. Definitely, avashya means what? Definitely, certainly, he anyatarat mithyasyat. Anyatarat mithyasyat. Anyatarat means what? Between the two, one of the two must be mithya. Mithya means what? Must be seemingly real. Must be as though. Anyatarasya cha mithyatva prasange. There again, anyatarasya cha mithyatva prasange. When it is understood, the other one of the two understood to be mithya, anyatarasya mithyatva prasange, when one of the two is understood to be having the status of being mithya, then dvaitasya mithyatvam yuktam, then it is possible or it is appropriate. Yuktam is appropriate to see the fact of dvaitam having the status of being mithya. Dvaitam, which is dvaitam, karyam brahma. The karyam brahma is what? Is dvaitam. Because there duality. Because there is knower, known, division is there. Doer, done, doing, this karaka bheda is there. Karyam brahma, within the realm of the material objective world, we can see these divisions. Karaka bheda we can see, triputi bheda we can see, knower, known, knowledge, triputi difference we can see is possible. The karaka bheda is also, the difference in karakas, this difference also is possible. Therefore, yes, that is dvaitam. So, dvaitasya mithyatvam yuktam. Dvaitam has the status of being mithya. It is appropriate for us to understand, it's appropriate to see dvaitam having the status of being mithya. Anyatarasacha mithyatva prasange. So between the two, one of the two must be mithya. And once one of the two being mithya, one of the two having mithya, that status of mithya is understood, then it is appropriate for us to see dvaitam being mithya. Duality having the status of being mithya. And which is, yet swabhavika ajnana vishayasya dvaitasya mithyatvam. This dvaitam, which has having mithya, is associated with what? Within the realm of ignorance. Swabhavika ajnana vishayasya dvaitasya mithyatvam. Dvaitam is ajnana vishayaha. Ajnana vishayaha. Duality is what? The object of the ignorance. Associated with the ignorance. Duality is within the realm of ignorance. Swabhavikate, naturally, dvaitam is associated. Dvaitam is within the realm of ignorance. And this dvaitam, which is within the realm of ignorance naturally, has the status of being mithya. It's appropriate for us to see this, to say this, to understand this. Therefore, what? This, only this, even going to the heaven, traveling, implies what? The difference. The Brahma Loka is different from this Loka. I am the traveler. I am different from this Loka. I am different from the other Loka. I have to travel from this Loka to other Loka. I am going there, and for which I have to do karma. I have to perform rituals. I have to practice meditation. I have to earn punyam. Then I have to travel. It's all differences. And after traveling, and there, I will get all my wishes fulfilled. I can assume countless number of forms, enjoy countless number of pleasures in terms of vehicles, women, okay, all sorts of desires can be fulfilled, wishes can be fulfilled, I can enjoy pleasures. They're completely, this is dvaitam. This dvaitam is within the realm of ignorance. Why ignorance? Only if a person is ignorant of the truth, ignorant of one's own self, one can have identity with the body, mind, and complex. And having identity with the body, mind, and complex, one can be the kaduwar, one can be the enjoyer, one can have doership and enjoyership. Even the karma, when he completes, part of the karma gets exhausted, it is possible for him as a jiva to travel and even to go there and again enjoy even higher loka. The duality is there. Where this enjoyer, enjoyment, enjoyed difference is there, there's duality. Dvaitam. Dvaitam is associated with only ignorance. Dvaitam is within the realm of ignorance only. And this dvaitam is what? Mithya. It is not, doesn't have independent existence of its own. Without the knower experiencer, no experience is possible. No experienced world is possible. Therefore, it's all mithya. Dvaitam has mithyatvam. And this dvaitam which has mithyatvam is within the realm of ignorance. And the dvaitam implies not only bondage. One can have temporary pleasures. There's no mokshaha. In dvaitam, there is no freedom. Because dvaitam is the realm of ignorance. So there is one absolute reality, ultimate truth. Actually, the one thing alone cannot be both sagunam and nirgunam. Brahma. One thing alone cannot be the karanam Brahma and karyam Brahma. Which means having being endowed with these differences, divisions, triputi veda, karaka veda, sajati vijati, all these vedas. And one without vedas, or without the differences. So between the two, one must be mithya. One of the two must be mithya. And if one of the two being mithya becomes understood, it is appropriate for us to say, Dvaitam has mithya status. Dvaitam has mithyatvam. Because dvaitam is associated with ignorance. Dvaitam is only within the realm of ignorance. Therefore what? Mokshaha being the very swarupam of the absolute reality, param brahma, karanam brahma. Mokshaha is, which is, that Brahman is distinct from the mithya, dvaita prapanchaha. Therefore, discovering that Brahman is attainment of moksha. Not going to Brahmaloka or enjoying pleasures. Therefore, there's no virodha with, there's no shruti kopaha. There's no provocation of shruti mata's anger. There's no contradiction with gati aishwarya shrutis. Is it clear? Have you made clear or confused you? Don't worry. If you have not understood, nothing, you have not lost anything. It becomes much clearer when you go to Brahma Vidya portion. Next chapter. Every time, every word I read, I feel so grateful, Pooja Swamiji. I can't, even though Gurunasa Advaitam na Kuriyat. The Swamiji has such a clear vision. Still, that I just revel. How Swamiji presented this teaching, I just only tell you in the class what I heard, what I remember from my class. I wish I sit and look into the book before I come to the class. No. Always, it is Swamiji's words only come. Okay. We'll go read next sentence. Yatrahi dvaitamiva bhavati. Now Shankar Bhagavatpada gives more quotes. Yatrahi dvaitamiva bhavati. See, this Brihadaranyaka Vakyam, the 14th month of the 4th section, 2nd chapter, here yatrahi dvaitamiva bhavati. See, dvaitam iva. When you see this world, this we see, for us the plurality seems to be very real. Plurality, multiplicity is real because duality is real. I am the knower. The world is known to me. Therefore, I am different from the world. The world is different from me. This strong perception of duality is mistaken to be absolutely real because of ignorance. Dvaitam iva bhavati, yatrahi dvaitam iva bhavati. Only in ignorance, only when as long as there is person is ignorant of this truth, obtaining as one's own self, having wrong identity with anatma, body, mind and complex, he sees the world, isolating oneself from the world, then he can say what? Dvaitam iva bhavati, the duality, perception of duality seems to be absolutely real for an ignorant person. Be ignorant of the truth, ignorant of the self, helplessly his identity being is with anatma, body, mind, and complex. He choicelessly isolates himself from the external world. And for him, duality is real. Only in ignorance. Yatra hi dvaitamiva bhavati. Only in ignorance, duality seems to be real. Duality is real. Appears to be real. Okay. Mrityoho saha mrityum apnoti. This is the Kathopanishad mantra. The 10th mantra, the first section, second chapter. We came across this mantra when we read Mrityoho saha mrityum apnoti. Means what? This person travels from death to death. Mrityoho mrityum apnoti. Once a person is born, he goes through a life of pairs of opposites, dies, again he'll be born. Again he'll be born. So birth after birth after birth after birth, he'll go through pairs of opposites, he'll die, again he'll assume another birth. If he will not assume, we would not have been born even in this birth. This, the very present birth itself is the proof that we will be born again and again. We do not know why we are born now. Choicelessly we have been born here. So we'll be born again like this. Therefore he says, Mrityoho mrityum apnoti. As long as a person remains ignorant of oneself, one has wrong identity, and because of ignorance, having these fundamental problems and having desires, becoming bound by desires, he will be involved in performing actions, accumulating punya papam, and he will be traveling from birth, death to death. Means what? He'll continue to remain in samsara. As long as person remains ignorant of the self, he will continue to remain in samsara choicelessly. Atha yatra anyat pashyati tadalpam. This is again another beautiful quote from Chandogya Upanishad. The first mantra of the 14th, the 24th section of the 7th chapter. யத்ர அன்யத் பஷ்யதி, அத யத்ர அன்யத் பஷ்யதி ததல்பம். யூனோ, ஆஸ் லாங் ஆஸ் அ பர்சன் ரிமைன்ஸ் இக்னரண்ட், he can see another thing which is equally real. Okay, we can see a second thing. How long can you see the second thing, another thing? There's something other than me is there. You can see this only as long as you are ignorant of the self. As long as a person remains ignorant of one's own essential nature, the absolute reality of the universe, one will have helplessly identity with the body, mind, sense complex, and looking at oneself, looking at one's own self as an individual, isolating oneself from the objective universe, and he'll see what? Anyat pashyati. One can see there's something which is there other than me. The seeing another thing implies what? Seeing oneself as body, mind, sense complex. Having identity with the body, mind, sense complex. And having identity with the body, mind, sense complex means what? Not knowing one's own essential nature. Having erroneous perception. Therefore, it's all ignorance. What happens in ignorance? That's what he quotes. So all these mantras here reveal the expressions of the ignorance. As though there is the world of duality, plurality, only when a person is ignorance. Person is ignorant. A person continues to remain in samsara, becoming the victim of death continuously, only because of ajnanam. Then seeing the second thing, seeing something else other than the self itself, is because of ignorance. That is alpam. Alpam means what? This is the person's understanding is very little. Yatra anyat pashyati tad alpam. Remaining ignorant of the truth, obtaining as one's own self, having wrong identity, looking at oneself as an individual, isolating oneself from the world, seeing the world to be something other than the self, means the person has very, very little understanding. In fact, does not know the truth. Okay. Next quote. All these quotes only reveal the consequence of remaining ignorant. Okay. Anyaha asau, anyaha ahamasmi. The Brihadaranyaka mantra quotation. Anyaha asau, anyaha ahamasmi. He is different. I am different. I am different from him. He is different from me. This difference itself is what? Differentiating oneself from the other is a result of, because of isolating oneself from the whole. And isolating oneself from the whole is because of wrong identity. Wrong identity is because of self-perception, because of ignorance. These are all expressions of ignorance. Udaramantaram kurute athatasya bhayam bhavati. It's a very beautiful mantra from Taittiri Upanishad. Udaramantaram kurute athatasya bhayam bhavati. See, udaram, not a stomach, udaram, that means very little. Antaram kurute. The person, even if a person sees a slightest difference, there is no difference at all, absolutely. If you see the ocean from the standpoint of the ocean, you will see what? You will see the difference. The standpoint of the wave, you can see the wave-wave difference, wave-waves difference, wave-ocean difference. You can see all the different, only the standpoint of the wave. You shift your, vision from the standpoint of water. If you see from the standpoint of water, the difference is as though, wave-ocean difference is as though, not real. Wave-wave difference is as though real. It's a standpoint differs. Similarly here, even udaram very little, udaram means very little, udaram antaram kurute, even if a person makes slightest difference, then for him, duality is real. The duality is real. The duality which is perceived choicelessly is very real for him. Perception of duality is not wrong. But mistaking the perception of duality to be real is a problem. Therefore, what happens now? The second thing other than me is there means then there is the fear of death. The fear itself is because of seeing a second thing, making a slightest difference. Seeing the slightest difference. Fear. The fear itself is a natural phenomenon which is possible only if there is the wrong notion that I am a mortal. Amazing, isn't it? The fear of the phenomenon called a fear will resolve for good if a person is free from fear of death. The fear of death will be there as long as a person has a wrong notion, I am a mortal. As long as a person remains ignorant of one's real nature, having wrong identity, mistaking the body, means sense compass for the self, and he will have a wrong notion helplessly in terms of I am a mortal. Therefore, fear, the phenomenon called a fear itself is what? Because of seeing the difference. Seeing mistaking the duality to be real. Ityadi shuti shate bhyaha. This Taittiriya mantra quote. Taittiriya Upanishad mantra. Okay. Ityadi shuti shate bhyaha. From hundreds of shuti statements like this, from hundreds of statements of shuti in like this, such as these statements, we understand very clearly where as long as ajnanam is, so long will there be perception of duality, wrong identity, isolation, and there will be error in the perception of the world and the self, there will be consequence of that erroneous perception also. In terms of remaining in samsara, having to go through the problem of fear, etc. So what does he want to say? Discovery of the truth, knowing the absolute reality, Brahma, is the attainment of freedom, which is Advaita Brahma Jnanam. Reality is absolutely one, secondless and non-dual. In discovering this one day secondless non-dual reality, Ekam Advayam Advitiyam Brahma, discovering the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self, from the standpoint of reality, when we understand duality being mithya, the world of plurality being mithya, everything other than the Brahman being mithya. One discovers freedom in discovering the truth. Therefore, moksha is not apyaha. Moksha is not a result of an action. Don't forget this. Okay. We have few more things which I will do the next class. It's all right. There are some more quotations which will see all this and why Shankara Bhagavatpada presents these quotations, what exactly he wants to convey by presenting these quotes, etc. I'll explain in the next class. Okay. Yeah, this is a long bhashyam and we don't hurry. We will finish gradually, slowly. But it will give you a very thorough understanding, you know. It's a very beautiful preparation for us to enter into Brahmananda Valli. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.